If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference,
this show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
Now, when we send a spacecraft to Mars, for example, the software isn't finished. The spacecraft takes off, the coders keep programming, and then upload the software on the way.
What does space exploration have in common with startups? A lot, says Tom Soderstrom. He would certainly know. Tom is Jet Propulsion Lab's IT Chief Technology Officer, and in addition to his experience with NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab, he comes from a background of working with startups. During the 2016 NASA International Space Apps Challenge, Tom was on site at Pasadena's Cross Campus facility, serving as a consultant for the local Space Apps Challenge teams. Tom, please tell me what first inspired you to get involved in science as your life's work.
Wow. It was really came from programming. I knew how to program, and I was hired by JPL a long time ago, and really liked the way of programming and what JPL and NASA does. It's the what we do is so exciting, doing things that nobody else does. And then I went off and did a whole bunch of things in industry and startups and things. And then the mission of NASA and JPL lured me back. So now I'm back and I'm having a great time.
Which mission especially lured you back?
The mission of looking for life out there, looking for Earth 2.0, trying to figure out how to redirect an asteroid should we one day have to. Understand how the universe was created and where it's going, and protect Mother Earth from space by looking and understanding at a global impact of weather changes long term, climate changes, being able to predict hurricanes, droughts, floods, earthquakes, things like that that nobody else does. It's really about something that's so much bigger than me.
In your opinion, are we that much closer to knowing how to protect the Earth, or do we have a far ways to go?
Are we closer? Yes. Do we have a long ways to go? Yes. But things like the Space App Challenge can help. It helps by creating the awareness from the citizens of the world of working together to try to create a path forward. And also all the new data we're creating, the technology, the computing technology that, of course, I'm interested in and using, is so much more powerful than it ever was before. And it's so much more accessible by everyone using open source technologies and things like that and cloud, and the devices we have, the smart anything, smart watches, smart phones, smart glasses, smart clothes, all of those are really can become sensors that help us sense the climate, then aggregate it all in the cloud, and then visualize it using the new tools, and even have now spoken to us through the various spoken interfaces.
It's exciting to me how we can connect anything now with sensors.
I think that's really the very impressive thing is you can connect anything. And if you look at the innovation, it's the innovations of new technologies since the 1750s, looking at the patents, it's actually slowing down. Do you feel like you live in a less innovative world? No. So it's really the combinations of existing technologies that is creating this fabulous innovation landscape.
I never knew that about the patents till you just said that.
Yeah, it's a very surprising thing. But if you just think about something like an Uber or I'll take Uber. So what technology do they use? Smartphone already existed. Social media already existed. Wi-Fi already existed. So it's just a new combination of things. And there's many, many, many examples like that. And that's why I think we're living in such incredibly innovative times, evidenced by things like the Space App Challenge, where you have probably, see what the numbers say, but maybe 20,000 people across the world working on problems that will help humanity. Amazing.
How did you first get involved with Space Apps Challenge?
It's been a while now. I've been fortunate to be asked to be involved. It was not my creation, but just being able to see this energy. It's been several years now, quite a few years. This is actually the fifth year of NASA Space App Challenge, and I've been involved every year. But it's just such a charge to see these global citizen scientists working together, and they've never met each other before. Many come in, have never seen, they just come in and want to program and work on something that's bigger than themselves. And now with all of the Internet of Things devices that they have to play with, we're seeing people actually create not just software, but software and hardware together. And there is the variety of people, of ages, of sexes, of everything is just fantastic.
That's exciting to me, that you don't have to be 20 and with a background in technology to be good at this.
Exactly. One of the challenges is using origami, for example, to show how a spacecraft could unfold itself. It's those type of ideas that are just such a charge. I've walked around and talked to all the teams here in Pasadena, and they're all doing amazing things. And my biggest advice to them is keep the grand vision, but implement something that you can show. And that's really how software and developments are done these days. It's minimum viable product, and then expand on it, expand on it, expand on it. So you always have something you can show.
We've got a team working on origami to turn a spacecraft. What else have you seen?
Lots of drones. Drones is obviously hot on people's hot list. So being able to protect from airspace, being able to make sure they don't crash, all of that. Seen people looking for meteor impacts, looking for lots of citizen science data using games on the smartphones. We are lucky to have an astronaut here, and there's quite a few astronaut things, games where the astronauts can keep track of their loved ones at home, or loved ones at home can explore space, remote planets like Mars. Just an amazing variety of topics.
That would be fun to develop, a game for astronauts that they'll be using in the future.
Exactly. And how building a biohabitat on Mars, how would you go about that? It's amazing. I think there's somewhere around 15 to 20 teams here.
What would you recommend to anybody that may be a little bit intimidated by coding as maybe a resource before they come for space apps next year? Because I can personally say that you don't have to be scientific, but what would you recommend as an expert? Who is the scientist?
So the beauty of today, and I used to do startups, and boy, do I wish it had been now instead of then, because there's so many resources available on the web. You can just search for it, and you can get online tutorials to learn how to program. So a couple of people I've met here are just really here to learn. It's an opportunity to learn new things, learning programming, etc. So even if you are not programming at all, come to one of these. Come experience the charge and participate in storytelling, in, like I mentioned, origami, in just learning and participating with crazy ideas. Because in the end, the crazy ideas are sometimes what happens and gets implemented. And that is sometimes the only way we can solve some of our most difficult challenges.
What was the most fun for you about the startups with which you used to work?
It's really the same thing here. If you can think of each of these teams as a startup. So startup is about an idea, and the idea is everything. How you communicate with each other, there is no bureaucracy. You just run with it, and you run into lots of things. You bump into walls, and you walk around the walls, because it's the speed, it's the time. And this has a defined start, the Space App Challenge, and a defined finish, and you deliver something or not, and you get judged on that something. It's exactly like a startup.
What's one of your all-time favorite stories from having worked with your startups back then?
Boy, there's a lot of ones. And as anybody who worked in a startup knows, it can be very painful. But I think it's about the passion. It's about the giant failures and giant successes for your small team. So many products get finished just in time for a trade show. People just don't know how often that happens, where you're actually sitting up all night coding it and then showing it off. And I think I've done quite a few of those. Programming in the car on the way to the trade show and just putting the finishing touches on it. I think it's the adrenaline of working on something like that's fun. I work at NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and it's really an 80-year-old startup. It's so innovative with so many people with ideas that will impact humanity. And it's such a charge to work with all these folks.
What's the best parallel at JPL to finishing your coding in the car on the way to the trade show? What's been something that you've done that's been like that?
Oh, there's many. One of the things was the Mars Science. I didn't do it, but I know our director had to make the brave decision to postpone one of the big spacecraft. And because there were pieces that just weren't ready, the risk was too big. And so that delayed, and once we delay a deep space mission, it gets delayed for quite a while. So in the meantime, they rewrote the software completely. And that was one of the most fascinating stories I've ever heard. Fabulous software that then was used by every other mission. That's probably the closest. You know, when we send a spacecraft to Mars, for example, the software isn't finished. The spacecraft takes off, the coders are keep programming, and then upload the software on the way.
I know.
Didn't know that.
Because often, you know, the spacecraft, the hardware that we use has to be space qualified. So it's smaller than what we have on ground. Less memory, less speed. So you often have the piece of the software that's going to be used next is used then. So there's software to cruise towards Mars. There's software to land. And then there's software to drive. So once you have landed, you don't need the software to cruise or land anymore. So you can get rid of that and upload better software for driving. Of course, at great risk, because if you make a mistake, Matt Damon isn't there to save it.
And how many $1 billion did you just lose?
Yeah, if that happened.
With so many innovations coming out of NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory, when you talk about developing software, what are we computer nerds going to see here in 5-6 years that will have been originated that way?
So what's fascinating is the programming languages. I've never seen it this close before, that what we use in NASA Space App Challenge and what's used at JPL is actually very similar. It's a lot of the same things. The stuff or software that runs on the spacecraft itself tend to be different. It has to be much more efficient, much smaller. But the hardware that is actually being used here, the Internet of Things, what we would like to do is to be able to try to use some of that hardware on the spacecraft. Because it's cheaper, it's faster, and it's certainly, if we don't have to build it, we're much better off. Now, that doesn't work on everything, but the miniaturization of technology is fabulous. And that's really being driven by all the smart devices, like the smartphones. They're becoming more and more capable, but they're becoming smaller. So all of those techniques and the hardware can be used for us, so we can put less mass, means much easier to get it into space, and cheaper. And that's one of the big promises. 3D printing is one. Fabulous innovation, and we're learning to take advantage of that, and we're doing quite a lot there. But that's just one of many, many, many examples.
I just found out that the ISS has a 3D printer, which I did not know.
Yes, it does. And one day, we may send a 3D printer to Mars. So what if you could send, and of course, now I'm spinning and dreaming, but what if you could, there is no funded mission to send a 3D printer to Mars, but what if you could? What if that 3D printer got to Mars, it assembled itself, printed the parts it needed, printed spare parts, and then started preparing the habitat for humans. You know, it's radiation on Mars. What if it could build a brick house for the humans to come? Things like that is becoming more possible, in part because of all of the innovations coming from things like the Space App Challenge, coming up with ideas that we never thought about. I think one of the biggest thing is if we can get the ideas from here and then take them to the next step. So many ideas come up and then they're forgotten about. How can we reuse these ideas for the next Space App Challenge? Or even perhaps in the future have different sites across the world working together, not competing with each other, but working together on the same project at the same time. That would be something.
You've just given me chills with the idea about 3D printer or 3D printing on Mars. I hope we see that in our lifetime.
I sure would like to. And maybe Matt Damon could have printed a new habitat.
Possibly. What are some resources that you would recommend as a science professional to anybody that wants to know more about this?
First of all, search for the NASA Space App Challenge 2016. Follow the leads from there. The other one is go to, in my case, being parochial, www.jpl.nasa.gov. It'll talk about where we're going. And of course, www.nasa.gov will talk about where the bigger NASA is going. And then searching, using things like Python, Internet of Things from the home automation, we're bringing that into the enterprise. There's really no difference between a connected living room and a connected conference room. The same technologies. So learning to program, and programming is changing. We're envisioning that there is a core of programming that is using things like Java and C++ and C. Then those create application programming interfaces, APIs, to another and outer set of programmers that uses things like Python and JavaScript, etc., and Go, that then creates APIs to another set of programmers that we don't have yet, the citizen programmer, where you have things like if this, then that, you have the new programming languages targeted for five-year-olds, etc. So that, with 3D printing and all the new IoT devices, enables everyone to customize their environment at will. And I think that's a big revolution that's coming, a wonderful thing.
What an exciting time we live in. What has been one of your all-time favorite stories to share about your involvement with space apps? What's one of the most fun things that ever happened for you?
Wow. I think so we have some of my students who organized some hackathons and some of my other students who won the hackathon. And it made us realize that the tools and devices we use are the same tools and devices that's used in industry right now. So I think the direct relevance and how quickly we can take in new programmers or new scientists or engineers and have them be productive in our world is fabulous. So we've gone from having long training projects to having a project that they can hit the ground running and be productive once they join JPL. And that predicts the future success at JPL, because once you have one good project, it kind of feeds on itself. And I think that's probably the most exciting thing, is the speed at which people can be productive and satisfied. Now working at JPL is fabulous.
As we conclude here, and thank you for your time, what's one of the main things that you would want people to get from you, your students or anyone else with whom you come in contact, about innovation, creativity, and making a difference?
Wow, that's a great question. I think what I like about startups, what I like about these things, what I like about individual sports is you try, you fail, you stand up again and train harder or try it in new ways and you fail again, you try again and now you succeed. So it's the never give up. It's when it fails, depending on the magnitude of the failure, it's painful, but you just try again and eventually it will be successful, unless it was a really stupid idea, but at least you know and you can abandon it. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I would do is persevere. Don't give up, try again, and iterate, learn very quickly. And that's what we're learning from the startups. It's the try, improve, measure every single time, but iterate towards perfection.
Thank you very much. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure.
You said unless it was a really stupid idea. Some of the best ideas today sounded crazy. What's a parameter between a really stupid idea versus simply a silly idea that's going to wind up being the next Microsoft or whatever?
Wow, man, you're asking good questions. I would say it's the passion of the people who are coming up with the idea. Because in the end, ideas are just ideas. Technology is just technology. It's the people who implement the technology and the ideas that make it happen. So one of my favorite ideas, I had nothing to do with it, but one of the favorite things is the Curiosity landing with the crazy idea of going from thousands of kilometers per second to zero in 7 minutes. And then the final stage, and then it would drop and free fly towards Mars, never been done before. Then it would lower itself in essentially a fishing line and then land gently on Mars, then cut the cord and fly away so it doesn't land on top of Mars. And that was the sky crane maneuver. Crazy. And that could never be tested in fully and just go do it 150 million miles away, completely automated. What a nutso idea. And the people at JPL made it happen and NASA made it happen, and it was a fabulous success. It sounded really crazy to everybody when they first started it, but they did it. And it's their mighty things. That's our motto. And it makes it a really exciting place to work. Many, many other crazy ideas are coming up. And some of them we abandon very quickly. And some of them just kind of take root and germinate. And it's not one person's idea. It's the idea that other people are adding to the idea. Just keep adding to it. And then eventually try it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You and I have been listening to Tom Soderstrom, IT Chief Technology Officer at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena. NASA's 2016 Space Apps Challenge Hackathon, which happened in April of 2016, produced 1,287 projects from problem-solving teams all over the world, according to the Space Apps website. You'll find information on the winning projects on spaceappschallenge.org. That's spaceappschallenge.org. Meanwhile, if you'd like to get involved with what NASA's doing as a citizen scientist, and you don't really want to wait till 2017 for their next International Space Apps Challenge Hackathon, check out their new DataNauts program. You'll find more information on the NASA DataNauts program on open.nasa.gov/explore/DataNauts. That's open.nasa.gov/explore/datanauts.
And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more Over Coffee podcasts, our link is twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.